Buddy, I know that kind of score won't help your colon very much, Ross, but I pray that you do will have a good night. Let you in a little secret. One time, I got so burdened because I saw two clocks in the church. As you know, one is bad enough. But to have two, sometimes I think it's hindrance to the Spirit of God. So I ask the Lord, if in His own way and wisdom, that it get rid of the one on the wall. One night it fell down, spattered all to pieces. Now, I'm not going to ask the Lord to break down because it looks like a good one. But I would ask the brethren to take that one down and put it in the apartment. And I'm very serious about that. So, if not, I'm going to have to ask the Lord to let that one fall. I don't want to do that. I don't like long meetings. But I think sometimes we get too conscious of time. And, you know, Papa can sing bass, Mama Tana, go on 2.5 hours or more. Nobody worries about time. As soon as we get with the Word of God, somehow or the other, we get time conscious. May the Lord help us and convict us of these things. I want you to turn tonight to Proverbs 22. I love the book of Proverbs because you take one verse. Many of the verses are just filled with a lot of meaning, warnings. It's educational, poetic, but it's a tremendous book. I'm going to just take one verse tonight. And the verse, of course, is verse 3 of Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22 and verse 3, if you got it, I'd like to read it. And it says, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. The prudent man is a wise man. He's a man that is alert. He is a man that has foresight, keen foresight. He can see things that are going to happen. A prudent man is a man that's willing to listen. He listens to instruction because he doesn't want to fall in the pitfalls. And he doesn't want to ruin his life because he didn't listen. And so we call him a prudent man. A prudent man is an obedient man, a man who's willing to obey because, here again, he wants the best out of life. Just recently, Brother Mark Lacey gave instruction to the school children, very vital, on subjects that are much needed to be dealt with, really. But those subjects, however very needed and precious they are, will only be of value according to how much we obey them. That's how important it is to be a prudent man, a prudent person. Young people, listen. You don't want to fall in the pitfall of a lot of people down through the centuries, down through the years. Many a person has been made shipwreck of their life, physically, morally, spiritually, because they didn't listen. They were not prepared to be prudent people. A person with insight, a person who's willing to be wise, a person that will listen and will heed warnings. Says the prudent man does what? He says he hideth, or foreseeth rather, the evil thereof. You see, he has a regard. He's not only responsible or responsive, but he has a regard for these things. And he's watchful. I was watching a documentary the other evening, how a fellow way up in the mountains, where all he does in the wintertime especially, he goes to the mountains to check out by digging in the crust of the snow the areas that might be subject to a snowslide, an avalanche. And the reason for that is because every year people died and enveloped, that is, they go up there and they go skiing, and so many of them lose their lives because of the avalanche. And so that's all he does, and it's very tedious work, and he marks out certain areas where it is a no-no. You just do not go skiing in that particular area where, of course, there's a possibility of an avalanche. Not long ago, he was saying how people didn't listen to the warning. They had signs up, and they went up, and they were going to be, you know, they're going to sort of defy the dangers of the avalanche. They went up, and they were buried, and couldn't get them out for I don't know how long. 22 minutes, as long as a person can live. And that's a long time under the snow when you're buried several feet deep like that. Because they didn't listen. They weren't prudent. A wise man foreseeth the evil thereof. We have hurricanes. Thank God for the weather station, the weatherman, to give us up-to-date pictures of not only the area of the hurricane. We do not only have the size of it, but we have where it's traveling, how it's traveling. And all of this is monitored for us. And you know as well as I, we've been hit since Andrew with some very serious hurricanes, and it's done a lot of damages. So now when we hear of a hurricane approaching, what do? We put up our shutters, right? Because we're prudent people. You can see the evil thereof. You see the destruction that can come on your land. And so you take heed, and you're very cautious, and you have a right to be. And because you know what it is, you know what a hurricane can do. But there are a lot of people who venture out. There are people who go out in their boats, ships, and many of them are lost at sea because they did not listen. You see, a prudent man foreseeth the evil thereof. Now, that's natural disasters. The geologists in L.A. Right now, in fact, there's a huge fault. You know what a fault is? A possible earthquake. In that particular fault in Los Angeles, they're digging down in the earth and studying the clay and different things, you know, and the earth tremors. And when the last time they had an earthquake, and they're monitoring that. And the tremors are so frightening, they tell me. I've never been there. But you know something? They're trying to come up with an answer, how to predict a coming or an earthquake so that they could save many lives. And so then when, I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't even know what you could do to sort of avoid being hurt in an earthquake. In San Francisco, was it 1905? I can't remember the date exactly, but I think 5,000 people were killed in that earthquake. And so scientists are doing a great job. Why? The whole object is, of course, to find out how we can determine the dangers are coming so that we can, what? Hide ourselves or do something about it. Protect ourselves. And I couldn't help but noticing in a documentary some time ago and Mount St. Helens when the volcano there was getting ready to erupt. And it was very, very foolish of the people. You know what they were doing? Going over to that area with their cameras, and they wanted to get near, even though they zoned it off. They had the ropes, they had the cars, the police cars, to stop people from getting too near that volcano or that mountain. But it didn't stop everybody. And some people who, by the government orders, of course, were posted in areas so that they could monitor the volcano, Mount St. Helens, and they've never been seen since. They died. But the people who foolishly disregarded the rules went past the barriers. One man said, but I have a home with a lot of valuables in it. I must get to my home. And so they said, okay, and they let him go. He got his valuables, but they never found him. House was, of course, buried in the ash that fell. And they said that the power of that eruption of that volcanic mountain was simply awesome. I forget how many hydrogen bombs that were dropped in Japan, what it was equivalent to. But the power. And now we're studying how to avert any disaster or save lives from this type of disaster. The prudent man foreseeth the evil thereof and what? Hideth himself. And so too it is true. Young people as well as older, of course, but young people where many temptations they're faced with, and especially this time of the year, young people, I don't know what happens, sometimes you switch gears. We go from one gear of spirituality into a gear of abnormality. Don't ask me what it is. I don't know what happens. I don't know what clicks. But we do go into another gear. Let me tell you something. Destroying property is not right. It's not right for a Christian, non-Christian even, to do. And other things that people get involved in. You need to ask the Lord to give wisdom and guidance. You can have a lovely time. You can enjoy the Christmas time. What it represents. You can sing and you can even party. Nothing wrong with that. But you need to have a spiritual balance into how we conduct ourselves this time of the year. Let's enjoy Christmas in the way that God expects us to enjoy. Lest you fall in pitfalls and temptations and ensnarements of the devil. You can't afford to give in to the pull of the flesh. The flesh is rotten. Paul says it's no good. In me dwelleth no good thing. Therefore we need to heed. We foresee the evil thereof and we hide ourselves. It's very, very important to recognize this. There was a dear lady And I'll mention her name, and I'm not saying it to be critical of her, but an elderly lady stood at her graveside, and this is what she said. She said, poor kid, she never had a chance. Now, she was referring, of course, that at that time, a beautiful lady, Marilyn Monroe. Hollywood made her a star, and you know what kind of a star they made her. But she was depressed, and just wasn't with it. Dr. Billy Graham was so burdened about Mrs. Monroe that he wanted one of his men to go and to speak with her when she wasn't well. And they told him this wasn't an appropriate time, and for the two of the brethren that wanted to see her, come back in 2 weeks' time. But Mrs. Monroe, whatever happened, we're not even too sure of that. But the media said that she took an overdose and she died. That woman who rose to stardom ended up depressed and lost her life. I feel sorry for people like that. And I'm not using Miss Monroe's incident to be critical of her. I only use it for this reason. The lady said, poor kid, she never had a chance. Well, she did have a chance. You see, the prudent man or woman foreseeth the evil thereof, and you what? What do? You hide yourself. You run. It was quoted tonight. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Run when temptation assails you, and you will be the victor, and you will be much happier for it. I'm sure. I can guarantee you that. I like that thought. He hideth himself. We bury ourselves in our homes when a hurricane is coming. Good. Because when you hide yourself, that's where you have security. You see? You feel secure. You might be frightened sometimes, but you are secure. Because you're in Christ as a believer, spiritually speaking, you have security. If you're a believer, it's just wonderful. It's wonderful that you can rejoice in the Lord. That's why John said, these things write I unto you, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Do you know you have eternal life? Does the devil ever come and tempt you and put doubt in your mind? And maybe because you feel weak, and maybe you fail, and maybe you wonder why you're doing these things or allowing these things, and you're wondering, you're questioning your salvation. Listen, Satan will tempt you and put doubt in your mind, but you can be secured because the Word of God says, these things write I unto you that ye may know that you have eternal life. Because you base it on the Word of God, not your feelings. However, there is a solemn warning in the Word of God to be sure that you are in the faith. Because the Bible says, let a man examine himself whether he be in the faith or no. Don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself. You be sure that you're truly committed to the Lord, that you know Him as your Redeemer. And you could go out of this building. You could hang your head high on the authority of the Word of God. You know that you belong to Him and He belongs to you, because one day you gave Him your heart and you let Him come into your life. Unashamedly now, you can witness, you can tell the world that you are a child of God. And you base it not on your feeling or your emotion, but on the Word of God, okay? The wise man, the prudent man, foreseeth the evil thereof. I hope you can perceive the evil. I hope you see the red light. I hope you can see the warning light. And you foresee the evil thereof. And hide yourself. Hide it in the Word of God. Hide it in Christ. And you'll be secure. I'm sure. Fourthly, says, but the simple pass on. The simple doesn't mean the mentally retarded. Here the word simple means careless. You see, complacent. Or a stronger word, reckless. Reckless. The simple pass on. They're reckless. They're reckless. They don't care. They don't care about feelings of others. They don't even care about their own destiny. They don't care about mom and dad. We could tell you stories about that. And I don't want to be personal, not here. I've been 7 weeks in Abaco. I could tell you wherever we go, there are the same problems that we have here. We have other areas. We have suicide cases. We have other incidents, a real problem that we've been dealing with, so we know what we're talking about, because they were reckless. Can't afford to be reckless. Can't afford to be reckless or careless. The simple pass on. You see, otherwise they ignore the warnings, like the fellas, the snow skiers, like those in the Mount St. Helens. And they lost their lives because they ignored the warning. Mr. Truman, who lived at the base of the mountain, he had a nice area he had a beautiful home. And he told the reporters, he told the government officials, he says, I am not moving from this place. I've lived here all my life. And I am not moving. They never found him. They never found him. Buried beneath the ash and maybe lava. I'm not too sure about that, but they never found him. I've lived here all my life. He ignored the warning. I tell you, we're living in a crucial time. That's why I get so burdened sometimes, but we are living on the edge of something great happening in our world. And you've heard more preaching on the coming of the Lord. Turn your television on. All the prophetic teachers, they're warning the world that some great thing is going to happen. Now we know, according to the Word of God, the next great event is the rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, that's going to be a glorious moment for every child of God. But let me ask you, are you ready? Are you ready? Because it's not going to be that glorious for a lot of people. You live for the flesh. You live for the devil. You live for self. You can do it. You could have your own way. You could disregard mama and daddy's instruction. You could disregard the warnings of the Word of God. You're a free man, free agent, free boy, free girl. Go ahead. Go ahead. I dare you. That's what you want. I dare you. But I want to tell you something. You're going to suffer the consequences, because it says the simple pass on. And the last word says, and are punished. The word punished means ruin. Ruin. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? He that being often reproved, listen. He that being often spoken to, he that has been often convicted by the Spirit of God, he that has been often warned by the Spirit of God, he that being often reproved, listen, hardeneth his neck. He doesn't want to listen. He hardens his neck. He stomps his foot and he slams the door in the face of the preacher or the face of his parents, and he walks out in arrogance. I don't want to hear any more of that stuff. So he stomps out of the house. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, but shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. The simple pass off and are punished. Just the other day, I was reading where a man, the train was coming, stopped with his truck. Three of his buddies were in the truck, and he looked at the train coming on, and he must have said, I can beat the train. Pushed on the pedal, the gas pedal, but his truck was not as fast as the train. You can imagine what happened. Train just plowed into that vehicle, and the whole four of them were killed instantly. Simple pass on and a punish. He just thought that he could beat it. A boy was asked to go out partying one night. He says, man, you're going to miss it. You can't afford not to go. You'll miss a lot. About 12 o'clock, they called him down to the hospital. One of his best friends had a DO, in fact, dead on arrival as well. And all the other buddies were there. The hospital was too late because of the overdose of drugs. That young man with tears streaming down his face, he says, yes, he says, I realize I'm missing a lot. I'm missing a lot. But what he missed was to his credit, because he dared to say no. He dared to go the right way. He dared to be the prudent man. So tonight, two things I leave with you, and I close. Listen, either you are a prudent person, wise, all right, person with insight, or you could be in the group of the simple. That means a careless. You have a choice. But the best choice, of course, is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he died for you. Claim him as your Savior tonight. Will you do that? Shall we pray? Father, as we bow in your presence, we thank you for your word. It's always solemn, especially portions like this. We thank you for our young people gathered here tonight. And we pray, Lord, for each one. We thank you for our choir members, especially the songs that bless our hearts night after night. We know it's a lot of work that goes into practice, and we thank you for them. We pray, Lord, that you'll be everything to them. Help them to realize that they're ministering the word to us, and they're comforting us, as well as a ministry to the unconverted of our land. Father, we long to see souls saved in this island. We long to see an outpouring of your blessing upon us. And we pray indeed, O God, that you preserve our land, preserve our young, keep them, Father, from the evil one. He's out to destroy their morals and destroy them physically, mentally. And so we pray that you'll be everything to them. And should there be any in our meeting tonight without Christ, we humbly ask, O God, that they'll open their hearts and let the Savior in. As only you can do, Father, save them is our prayer. For Jesus' sake.